First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Investigations, anything we're into, and podcast of this show. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com or EdSpringsteen.com, please do me a favor and join the email newsletter. Yes, that's right. We'll send you weekly updates from the website, weekly or monthly, your choice. We don't believe in a daily spam thing that everybody does. And while you're there, if you're so inclined, please join the RSS feed if you like the show. We'll make sure the shows get delivered direct to your inbox. If you would, please be generous. We are in the middle of a fundraiser. We ask anybody and everybody to please use that donate link at both of those sites, LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. We rely on you to keep the websites, the radio, and everything else going so we can bring the truth to you. Yes, that's right. You are the reason all this is possible. For you guys that are new to the show, phone numbers, as always, 858-683-1326. Or 502-805-0334. For you folks that are in the listening queue, and there is always a bunch of it, we certainly appreciate it. Please hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. For everybody else, the live chat is now open. You can join the chat room by signing in using Facebook or Twitter if you so desire. And with all that said, let's just really get to it, shall we? I tell you, I have to start the show first with an apology. Monday night, there was no show. Blog Talk Radio was literally not letting us go into the website to create a show. I don't know why. I was still waiting for an answer. I understand there have been some problems with Blog Talk Radio for some of our listeners lately, and we apologize for the inconvenience. It is their servers. It's not us. And why that is going on, we don't know. If we can reach our goal with the fundraiser and trying to get everything, we hope to move away from Blog Talk Radio, quite frankly, to get something more stable and easier to access for you guys to use. So with that apology out of the way, let's just get right to the news, shall we? Because I tell you, here in Louisville, we're going to start with a little bit of Louisville. We've got some national stuff going on now that really needs to be talked about. And we will be talking about that here in just a few minutes. But here in Louisville, University of Louisville, former University of Louisville Vice President for Human Resources, Sam Connolly, was fired last month, said that he was ousted in retaliation for filing a complaint against Provost Shirley Willingans. That is kind of on par. We are used to seeing these things from Shirley Willingans and other things, or Willingans, I should say, and other things from U of L. These guys run a very protectionist racket, and I'm not sure what the retaliation was for, what the complaint was. Connolly has offered no details whatsoever on it, but it's going to be interesting. This will come out, I assure you, but we're going to be paying attention to this story very, very closely going forward. Another story that's really top of the list here in Louisville right now, Jefferson County, is the Metro Council Committee decided they were going to back a local minimum wage increase to $10.10 an hour and are sending it to the full Metro Council on Thursday night. Mayor Greg Fisher has gone on record saying that he would veto it, which actually is a great thing. It's actually a good thing that he's doing, but it's kind of disturbing as well, because he's not vetoing it outright. He wants them to compromise. Greg Fisher says, hey, if you come back at $8.50 or $8.75 an hour, that's workable. I can sign that. You know, but $10 or 10 cents an hour for minimum wage just isn't going to work. It's going to cost us a couple thousand jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Any increase in minimum wage is going to cost us jobs, folks. That's just the way it is. Unless the federal and the state government makes that increase in minimum wage applicable to everyone in the state of Kentucky or throughout the U.S., doing a local minimum wage ordinance is bad business. So I don't agree with any minimum wage increase whatsoever, but I tell you, it's interesting that they're willing to compromise for a little bit lower rate. The hidden factor here, and this is what really gets me, the hidden factor is this. It's not minimum wage going up to $8.50 or $8.75 an hour for those who are making minimum wage now. And by the way, the people that are making minimum wage is less than 2% of the workers. Less than 2% of the workers. But it's not those 2% that are going to cause the problems here. What's going to cause the problems here is like it always does. You go to a union shop like a Ford, a GE, or any of these guys that have unions, including Metro Government. If the minimum wage goes up, then every employee wants that same wage increase. It's a given. So if you raise wages for a buck for 2% of the people that have a job that are working minimum wage, the 98% of the people who are already making more than minimum wage are going to get that same buck increase. That's a hell of a lot of money, folks. It's a hell of a lot of money. And that is the problem. That is the problem. If you create a situation where your wages are out of balance and you have to pay more money, you're telling business you really don't care that they're here. Go ahead and go somewhere else. In Louisville, we have a great interstate system. And I'm only half tongue in cheek on that, folks. But you've got I-65, you've got the Gene Snyder, you've got the Waterson, you've got 64, you've got 71, all kinds of ways to get out of this city and go to surrounding counties, which are typically 15, 20 minutes away. You can go to Bullock County, Oldham County, Shelby County, you name it. You can go anywhere 15 minutes away. So if you're an employer and you have a business in Louisville and now 100% of your people are going to be required to get the same raise that minimum wage is going to cause for 2% of the people, then we've got a serious, serious problem. A serious problem. And this is going to cost us jobs. Then you throw in that a lot of these jobs, the lower paid jobs, take something like, down in the West End, Western Louisville, You know, you got a 25% unemployment rate down, or minimum. It's going to be more than that, all right? And you raise the minimum wage to some, or you raise the minimum wage to some of these places, and they're going to be forced to raise the wages for every other employee. Those companies are going to say, screw it. They're going to leave the West End. How many people are going to be unemployed in the West End then? The worst, the poorest economy we have, the poorest economic segment of our society. How are they going to cope? You know, you got to look at all of these things. You really, really do. And, you know, I agree with Greg Fisher on one aspect. You know, if you're going to raise the minimum wage, raise it on the state and the national level. Because that gives us an equal footing for business and job creation and job growth. But without that, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to raise the minimum wage on a local level. In 10 minutes, we can be at Indiana. Now, understand, Greg Fisher and his predecessor, Jerry Abramson, and this whole GLI, Greater Louisville Inc. crap, there's nothing about any of them to care about Louisville. They don't. It's that simple. Greg Fisher's own business is in southern Indiana, and it's in southern Indiana because he can pay his employees whatever the hell he wants to, and their tax structure is business-friendly. So Greg Fisher makes all of his money from Servin. Forget his salary as mayor. He makes his money from Servin, which is in southern Indiana. When you look at GLI and the people that are associated in leadership, southern Indiana, they don't live in Louisville. Greater Louisville Inc. spent $1 million more last year than they took in. Why? Because businesses are getting smarter. But at the same time, Greg Fisher also took $950,000 away from GLI that he was paying them every year to represent Louisville. Now you think, well, there you go. Greg Fisher has actually done something good. He understands, blah, blah, blah. No, not exactly. Not exactly, because here's the link that nobody wants to pay attention to. As soon as Greg Fisher took that almost $1 million away from GLI, they ran into red last year. GLI comes out with this new leader, Kent Euler, who is nothing more but a cloaked business-as-usual same kind of guy that sits out there and presents this program called the AGL, the Advancement of Greater Louisville. Now, that sounds great, right? We really care about Louisville. Bullshit. The AGL plan is a regionalization plan that is now going to expand to 15 or 16 surrounding counties in Kentucky, right here surrounding Louisville and southern Indiana. Yeah, you heard me right. And what's their goal? What do they want to do? Well, they want to bring in $1 million to help them launch this. It's a miracle that GLI lost $1 million last year and come up with a new initiative that's going to get 15 or 16 other counties to compete against Louisville, their primary mission, right? Greater Louisville. And they're looking for $1 million, which is equal to the amount of money they lost last year. And Greg Fisher, oh, by the way, says that he thinks this is a great thing. It's going to be great for Louisville. Where do you think they're going to get the money from? The same money Fisher took away from them to try to act like he gave a crap is going to go right back to GLI. There's not a doubt about that. And they're going to start promoting 15 and 16 other counties with this regionalization crap that they've been doing with southern Indiana for years and years that has destroyed Louisville business and market. And now they want to take the rest of what we have away by trying to get this fictitious minimum wage increase passed that's supposedly going to benefit 2% of the people or less out of all the workers here. But it's going to affect 100% of the daggone businesses because they're going to have to make raises for 100% of the employees, not the 2% that are making minimum wage. Folks, it's not rocket science. And when all of those wages go up, so do prices. So you think about this. For a full-time worker working 40 hours a week and minimum wage goes up $1, everybody's wages have to go up $1. That $40 that you're making a week on your hourly rate equates to about $25 to $28 more a week in your paycheck. When prices go up on every part of the goods, like they always do when minimum wage goes up, you lose even more. You're taking home $28 more a week, but by the time you figure the cost of goods, because transportation is going to go up for truck drivers, rail's going to go up, air's going to go up, so all of your goods and services, your food, your clothing, all of the different things that you want to spend your money on that you have to have, now all go up. Bread goes up 10 cents. Canned good goes up a nickel. Price of clothing goes up a buck, buck and a half. Every time you go out and shop, when you buy multiple items, that's going to increase your cost. So you're going to get $28 more in your paycheck each week, net take-home pay, and you're going to spend $40 or more each week making up for the difference because of this asinine, ridiculous, localized wage ordinance. What is it that these Democrat liberals in this town don't understand? You want to destroy business by sending it everywhere outside of Louisville with your regionalization garbage because our own mayor and the leadership and the team that he puts together could care less about us because they don't live here and have to live with it. You do all that, and then you want to raise wages to take the difference out. We have enough McDonald's out there, but nobody's going to be able to afford the Big Mac. So this minimum wage increase to me is disgusting. I totally disagree with the Democrats on the Metro Council. Totally disagree with them thinking that this is such a good deal. All right. Even David James, someone that I usually speak favorably of, he's one of the sponsors of this. And he's angry because Greg Fisher said he was going to veto this $10.10 minimum wage and goes on to say, well, let him turn down 61,000 people. This is an opportunity to inject $90 million in new money into the economy of our city, and it produces better jobs with better pay. He says there's no downside. David James, in this particular example to me, is ridiculous. He is totally clueless when it comes to being an employer and job creation. And this is somebody I think highly of, so don't think that I just pick on people. You know, this is somebody I normally have a lot of respect for. But in this case, David James is dead wrong. This is not going to inject $90 million into new money into the economy of our city. It's not going to do that. When the cost of goods goes up at twice that money, you've had no gain. It's a net loss. There is no way around it. You're not going to produce better jobs with better pay. Flipping burgers at McDonald's is still flipping burgers at McDonald's. That's not a better job. And that pay don't mean squat when you get that dollar raise and it's going to cost you $2 to buy goods at Burger King. That don't mean squat. It's common sense, logic, and good business. And unfortunately, a lot of these council members, including David James, who I typically have the utmost respect for, don't have a clue what it's like to have to daggone go out there and create jobs and make the economy. These are people who have always worked for other people their entire lives. They don't know what the business owners do. They don't know anything about the small business owners and how this affects them. And for the record, small business owners aren't the ones paying minimum wage in most cases. These guys don't have a clue, and that's really disturbing to me on a lot of levels because these guys, it's easy to sit there when you're making a guaranteed paycheck and, you know, everything else because you work for government, and you're sitting there to try to tell somebody how to run their business when you don't know the first thing about running a business. It's that simple. So I've got a major problem with that. I really do. And we're going to have to take a serious look at this tomorrow night when the council is in session. Somebody's going to have to stand up and be serious here. And no minimum wage increase unless the state or the federal government does it. At that point, it's a level playing field. But right now, it's not. We do not need a local minimum wage or increase. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, we have enough problems. I mean, like, you know, I'm going to try my best not to spend a whole hour talking about this, but I tell you, when I talk about Greater Louisville, Inc., like I did a minute ago, GLI stands for one thing and one thing only, giving Louisville to Indiana. I mean, that's what I've always looked at Greater Louisville, Inc. as being, giving Louisville to Indiana. And it's the truth, all right? Because when you look at this, they you know, GLI says they're against the minimum wage increase, all right? So you're thinking GLI really cares, just like Greg Fisher really cares. This is all this behind-the-scenes collusion. But when the chips are down, we know better, because GLI had no problem with Greg Fisher's local option sales tax that was going to raise taxes in Louisville. Had no problem with that. That is similar to this minimum wage thing. When you're increasing the cost of business, you know, when you're increasing the cost of buying anything here in Louisville, it's a major problem. How can you be for the local option sales tax, or lost, and thank God it did lose, actually, but how can you be for the local option sales tax that is going to increase the consumer's cost at the checkout line? So they're just going to go to Southern Indiana or Bullock County, which is going to cost us sales, which is going to cost us tax revenue, and then, you know, be against the minimum wage increase. So even that is hypocritical. That is hypocritical, because GLI, just like anybody else, should be committed to doing nothing more than making sure that we have a fair, equal business community here, so that everyone can compete and that we can generate new business, bring new jobs, bring new business here to Louisville, not to Bullock County, not to Oldham County, not to Shelby County, not Southern Indiana, right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we're actually going to talk about that either tomorrow night or Monday night, because there's a new game in town, and we're going to explain it all to you in the next show or two. And I'm going to let you know why. So we've got to get serious in this town. We've got to start thinking about what's best for us here in Louisville and quit playing this silly-ass game for political votes, and that's all that anybody cares about. The unions love the minimum wage increase because they know the $30 an hour worker out at Ford is going to get that increase too in the next contract. Because they're not going to let this $30 an hour worker at Ford get squeezed out because minimum wage went up for somebody making $7.35. They want to take it to $8.50. No, no, no. Our members deserve that same thing too. So now you're going to spend $31 an hour. You know, they know all of this. It's all a racket the Democrats put together to make sure they continue keeping their power, to act like they care about the poor, and the poor don't know any different. Seriously, the poor think that this is good for them. Well, I'm going to make more money because I work at McDonald's, until McDonald's brings that machine in that makes the burgers for them, and they don't need you at all. You know, that's the whole thing. We're not understanding that you make poor people poorer. You make the middle class poorer by doing this kind of asinine approach. And then to sit here and regionalize? Come on. What happened to taking care of right here at home? We should be proud in Louisville. We've done nothing but destroy Louisville for 20 or 30 years now. And it's time to really get over it and change it. And speaking of destruction, here's another story on a state level. Andrew Beshear. Governor Steve Beshear's son, Andrew, of course, is going to seek to be the next Kentucky Attorney General in next year's election. Jack Conway has decided he's going to try to move on, whatever. So Andrew Beshear is going to run for Attorney General. And what happens here is, you know, Andrew Beshear is refusing to talk about any business he's done working, you know, with or against Jack Conway. You know, as we know, Andrew Beshear, like his father before him, is an attorney with Stetson Harbison. One of the biggest situations that we had happen here, and Andrew Beshear was the representative, dealt with like Boyle County, Parksville Water District. You know, all of these things, they were sending out false things to employees, or I'm sorry, they were sending out false things to homeowners, making them think that the Boyle County, Parksville Water District, you know, was behind this mandatory insurance crap that they were trying to send, and it wasn't them, it was a third party, but they were allowed to misuse, you know, logos and things like that. You know, so you had false trade practices that this company actually had to admit to. They paid fines and cost, and then they finally added language that says they're not a government agency. But who negotiated that deal with Jack Conway where they got away with a $7,500 fine and nothing else? Well, none other than Andrew Beshear. You know, it's interesting. Andrew Beshear's name comes up as representing so many companies that have been in trouble with the Kentucky Attorney General's office, and comes up with all kinds of sweetheart deals, and now he wants to be the Attorney General. I think that if he's not willing to come clean and tell us about, you know, some of the things that he's been involved in, some of the deals were made, I think that questions his credibility. I really, really do. And that shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. You know, we have got to find a situation where we're holding these people accountable. We really do. You know, you've got Andrew Beshear. What is he involved in? You know, all kinds of pre-suit negotiations and mediations where his clients are getting off basically scot-free working with Jack Conway. You know, I don't know what to tell you here. We have got to start holding accountability. And I've got a major problem with someone like Andrew Beshear running for attorney general who really, truthfully, I really question his integrity and his ethics. I really, really do. Not as much as I do Jack Conway, who, thank God, is leaving, but certainly there are questions to be asked. So we've got to get there, I tell you. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get into some national issues, because I tell you what, I'm very disturbed by what's happened in Pakistan, and nobody thinks this is a big deal because it's not being made a big deal by mainstream media. You know, I am very, very disturbed that we're canceling movies now because somebody decided to say they didn't like it and they might do something at a movie theater, so they cancel entire distribution. I'm talking, of course, about Sony. And we've got a president who just traded a spy for a spy and said, hey, Cuba, we're open now. We're going to talk about all that when we get back. Don't forget, folks, calling numbers as always, 858-683-1326. 502-805-0334. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to the Ed Sprankster Show right here on the MVMO Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Sprankster of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Network. I tell you, we've got so much going on. Guys, I'm listening to you. I forgot to mention before break. Please hit the number one on your dial pad if you want to turn on air. I always mention that. I apologize for missing that. I tell you, I'm just so frustrated. I really am. I am so frustrated with what is going on in this world and this country. It's disturbing to me. It really is. You know, last week we had this big story about the CIA and waterboarding and the terror tactics that we use against suspected terrorists and everything else. Well, it was made out by Dianne Feinstein, you know, the domestic terrorist, in my opinion, you know, trying to create all kinds of havoc for her own selfish gain. And the whole country was just going crazy about this, but the whole world will use this for more terrorism. And I tell you, I found it very disturbing, but I agreed that those tactics needed to be done. I had no problem with the tactics that we were using in the report. Now, that sounds cold and heartless to a lot of people. It has absolutely nothing to do with being a conservative or a liberal. I am a military veteran. I have lost friends in combat. The stuff that you see around the world is incredible, according to them. I admit freely, I wasn't in a war zone. I'm not taking credit for that. I refuse to do that. I'm not going to lie. But we see these we see atrocities every day. You know, we saw it on American soil. The worst terrorist attack in our history was the World Trade Center. 9/11, 9/11. I think we did everything wrong since then. I didn't agree with George Bush and a lot of the stuff that he did, but I did agree with going after those terrorists. And this is why, because we've seen all these beheadings in the last few months from these terrorists. They have no problem slicing off somebody's head and filming it and acting like they've done something great, screaming, Allahu Akbar, God is good. In my opinion, God isn't evil. So I don't look at this as something we did wrong. You know, sometimes there are things you have to do to preserve peace and save lives. And in my opinion, that was the goal. That was the plan. That's why these tactics were used. The Pakistani Taliban just proved why those are important. They just proved it. You know, 2 days ago, Pakistani Taliban went into a school. Reports said there were as many as 9 of these Taliban, and they all had suicide bombs on. But they went into a school and massacred at least 132 children and 9 staff. That number has now risen from a total of 141 dead to 145, the last report that I saw. You know, they didn't care about these kids, these students. They just went in and started shooting up. According to Pakistan security officials, some of the attackers were killed by commandos and some of the other ones blew themselves up after they got done doing what they were doing. And they were screaming that this is in revenge for some kind of army offensive, that the Pakistani commandos and military have been running since this summer. Okay. But you attack children? To me, that's cowardice. But do we see a pattern here? Al-Qaeda, Taliban, ISIS, Muslim Brotherhood. Do we see a pattern of not giving one crap about human life at all from these people? And that's really what it boils down to. You can't sit here and negotiate with these people. You can't sit here and talk to them like they're equals because they care about human life and existence. They don't. The radical fanatics that don't have a clue about anything and don't care about anything but themselves and their own opinions and views. They're following a guy who, in my opinion, was nothing more than a pedophile and a racist who was whining and crying because he couldn't get elected. So he decided he was going to make himself the prophet. And he was going to be the leader of a Muslim and practice Islam. Muhammad. And these people have actually built their life around this. And I'm supposed to feel bad about waterboarding and everything else that is going to save thousands of lives. Potentially save thousands of lives. I don't. And the Pakistani Taliban should have been another reminder as to why, for all of us. Here in America, here is the problem. We see this terrorist crap play out all over the news. And all of a sudden, we get scared of our own shadow. And the terrorists win because they basically make us live in fear. But they don't make us live in fear. We live in fear on our own. That's the truth. It really is. You need proof that we're living in fear? yesterday there were a couple of movie theaters that had decided they were not going to play a movie called The Interview. The Interview is nothing but a daggone comedy at best. Probably not going to be a big box office draw anyway. I don't care who's in it. You know, but it was a comedy about the attempted assassination of the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-il. Well, apparently there's a group of hackers who decided they were going to put something out and threaten us with some kind of a mass terror at any movie theater that showed this movie. It was going to be on the scale of 9/11. And using that language made these theaters decide not to show the movie. So what does Sony do? This afternoon, Sony decided they were not going to move forward with the release, period. They've decided to cancel the entire Christmas release of The Interview because they were concerned about terror threats. Now, these hackers are the same hackers who got into Sony's computers and everything else and started putting out email, internal email and everything. You know, they had some bad things in it. We don't deny all that. Okay? But what has happened here? Now, if you don't like a movie and you're somebody who wants to be seen, all you got to do is say that you're a big terror group, that you're a hacker network, a big terror group, you know, and you don't like this movie, so shut the movie down or we're going to bomb a theater. Do they have the capability of bombing a theater? What stops anybody from doing that? I'm serious. What stops anybody from doing that? I'm not advocating doing that in any way, shape, or form. But I'm just saying, if all you have to do is threaten to do something and the whole world's going to stop, then we've got a serious problem in this country. We forgot what it's like to be free. And we have capitulated to these bastards who are nothing more than hate punks and cowards. Sony canceled the release, and these movie theaters refused to show the movie because of some threat online. That is disturbing. That is disturbing. If I was a builder or I was somebody who was looking at buying a home, I would refuse to buy a home with a front porch. I would. Someone might stub their toe on one of the steps walking up the porch, and I would be liable for damages. I would be liable for damages if they stubbed their toe. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have any visitors over to my home whatsoever if I want to live in this kind of a world. Because if they accidentally slipped and fell in my front yard, because the grass might have had a little dew on it that they decided to cut through after a rain or something, I've got some severe liability. I don't want that liability, so let's not anybody visit me at home. Matter of fact, I don't think I'm going to leave the house. I'm not going to leave the seat that I'm sitting in, but that scares me because this chair that I'm sitting in doing this show might actually break with me sitting in it and me fall and hurt myself. I'm going to have to sue the chair manufacturer. But it scares me because I might get hurt. Now I feel like I've been threatened by the chair manufacturer because they use glue on the legs. I mean, can you see how bad we're getting here? Families at the Newton, Connecticut shooting, we all know about Sandy Hook Elementary School, are now going to sue Bushmaster for making an AR-15 that they claim was involved in shooting the kids at Sandy Hook. Adam Lanza pulled the trigger, but Bushmaster is going to be responsible because they made the gun? Are you serious? This is the absurdity of where we're going. And to think that this is going to go into the movie theaters, I tell you, let's do the world a favor, folks. Seriously, let's do the world a favor. I want everybody that listens to this show, spread this around high, far, and wide. But let's boycott and never pay one dime to go to any Sony movie that's playing in any theater for 1 year. Do it. If a movie is made by Sony Pictures, don't go see it. Don't spend a dime walking into the theater on anything. I don't care if it's a Disney movie. Don't take your kids to see it. Don't spend a dime on a Sony movie. I'd be too scared to. As a matter of fact, don't go to any movie theaters, period. Boycott all movie theaters. Because if the theaters themselves are going to pull a damn movie, this isn't some kind of a serious daggone movie. This is a comedy, for God's sake, regardless of the content. We've certainly done a hell of a lot worse in entertainment. If a movie theater is that going to do, then boycott the movie theaters too. Just don't even go to the movies. Refuse to go. Let them release everything straight to DVD so you can order it on your daggone cable box for $2 instead of spending $10 a pop per person going to see a movie. Save it. We ain't got to worry about the jobs putting popcorn and Coke out there either, right? All these minimum wage workers, you know, we don't have to have popcorn or Coke anymore either. So let them lose their jobs. We don't care. We'll stop the liberal actors and actresses from getting rich doing junk. I mean, let's face it. All they do is stand in front of a camera and act like somebody else, and we can't put that picture out there to daggone take advantage of our good nature and take advantage of our daggone patriotism and going out and just sitting there and spending money supporting them. So let them live off the government like they want everybody else to live on because we have saved the whales and all the liberalism works, right? Let's just make all the Hollywood actors and actresses broke. We won't need actors and actresses if we can't make movies. We won't need movie theaters to show movies that don't exist. Let's just eliminate all of that. Get rid of it. For 1 year, just do it. The sad thing is, a lot of you guys know I'm right. But very few of you would have the balls to do that. You want to know what's wrong with this country and why people like this get away with this kind of threatening actions against us? Why Sony Pictures and everybody else capitulates? It's because we, the American people, will not hold them accountable. Because we, the American people, have learned to live in fear. We are so damn scared of everything, we will avoid anything at all cost if there's a potential threat. That is what America has come to, and that's not American at all. But really, when you look at it, I mean, let's face facts here. In the last 6 years, under President Dictator Barack Hussein Obama, a lot of this can be attributed to him. And I firmly believe that. Longtime listeners of this show know that I'm no fan of George Bush. And please, please, before I forget, somebody do the world a favor and tell Jeb Bush to shut the hell up and go disappear. We do not need another Bush in the White House. No more than we need Hillary Clinton. We'll get into some of that tomorrow night. But let's look at the realities here. This president gave up terrorists to bring back an army deserter, Bo Bergdahl, a guy who deserted his post and didn't really care one thing about it in the middle of a war zone, and all of a sudden, he is so important to us, we give up terrorists. This president has negotiated with terrorists and made us the laughingstock. Around the world, the things that have always kept us safe, folks, is we were respected or feared or both. We have no respect from around the world anymore. That's gone. And I don't blame Barack Obama for all of that. It actually started before he got there. But it got a lot worse when Barack Obama decided it was okay to negotiate with terrorists. Then it got a lot worse. We proved it with Bo Bergdahl. So what happens? Now, he did the same damn thing again with Alan Gross. It's been all over the news all day. Everybody's talking about it. Alan Gross was a former subcontractor that worked for USAID. He was just a poor little subcontractor. He was arrested in December 2009 working in Cuba. Was finally put on trial over there and prosecuted in 2011 after being accused of crimes against the Cuban state. What was his crime? Bringing satellite phones and computer equipment to members of the Jewish community without the permit required under Cuban law. He had been there. This was his fifth trip when he was arrested. So he was convicted and sentenced to 15 years in March of 2011. Now, everybody in the whole world is sitting here today thinking, oh, that's great, he's free. And believe me, I'm glad he's free. I don't wish that on anybody. But folks, I've got to tell you here, seriously, there's a lot of this that makes your bullshit meter go straight up. Period. Gross was aware of the risk that he was taking. He clearly said that. According to some of the AP reports that are out there, Gross did not identify himself as a representative of the U.S. government, but he claimed to be a member of a Jewish humanitarian group. Now, here's the problem. USAID, the United States Agency for International Development, is run by the State Department. So he was a government employee. He was not a member of a Jewish humanitarian group. He knew that he was taking risk, and here's what he was scared of. In order to escape any kind of Cuban authority detection, he got all kinds of American Jews to help him transport electronic equipment one piece at a time, all right, and all kinds of carry-on luggage and everything else. He traveled with American Jewish humanitarian groups so that he could act like he was with them, okay, if the Cuban authorities asked any questions, all right. Now, a lot of the stuff he took over there was legal in Cuba. However, okay, he wasn't allowed to establish all of this wireless networking stuff that could be a threat to Cuba. Those are their rules. He knew the rules, and he intentionally violated them, knew how to get people to aid him in violating them. So he set up his own, you know, smuggling operation, if you will. All right. And to say that he wasn't some sort of a spy who was working on behalf of the U.S. government is questionable at best. Now, there are people that will take offense to this. I get that. You know, but this guy had been working as an international development worker forever. He'd been doing this in at least 50 countries. At the same time, he had done this in the Middle East, Africa, over in Europe, Iraq, Afghanistan. He was setting up satellite communication systems to do what? To bypass state-controlled channels. So it was clearly illegal what he was doing, and he'd done this in 50 other countries, so he knew it was illegal what he was doing. He was setting up a spy system is all you can put it down to. He was setting up some sort of satellite communication system so that he could bypass the state-controlled channels. That's the country's business, not ours. Early December this month, a couple of weeks ago, he released a statement saying that his teeth had fallen out, they had lost a lot of weight, and everything else. So they wanted to have him released on a humanitarian discharge. Well, here's the thing. When he was arrested, he weighed over 250 pounds. All right. Since he's been there 5 years, he's dropped a lot of weight, but his weight today would be considered healthy, I would think. I saw a video of him today when he started speaking, and I just didn't feel like listening to him because I knew his history. So he was overweight, and he lost weight and got down to healthy weight. All right? His teeth are falling out and everything else. You got to ask yourself, what's going on with this? Well, here's the problem. He's complaining about his health. His teeth had fallen out. His arthritis is so bad he can't hardly walk. Hell, he was walking fine into the press conference today. He did have teeth that were missing. But according to his own attorney, you know, who are screaming and arguing that his health has deteriorated and they have to release him under humanitarian grounds, he has refused all medical care whatsoever. He refused it. They were trying to offer him medical care, but he refused all medical and dental care because he knew that by refusing that, and he admits it, he refused it because he wanted to be released from prison, and he felt the only shot he had was on a humanitarian release. So he intentionally tried to make it look like he was a bad health risk and everything else to get a humanitarian release, admittedly so, and his teeth fell out because he refused care, and all of a sudden that's our problem. This is a guy who was basically a spy. There's no other way around this. There's no way around it. He knew that doing all of this was against Cuban law. He was trying to help build a system that the state knew nothing about. Guess what? Espionage? I mean, let's get real here, folks. It is very disturbing. You need further proof that this guy was more than just a subcontractor. In November of 2012, he and his wife sued Development Alternatives, Inc. and USAID, USAID, said that they failed to adequately prepare, train, and supervise him, given the dangerous nature of the program's activities. Now, here's a guy who admitted that he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he did it anyway. And on the fifth trip there, he was arrested. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He intentionally did it anyway. And now he's suing the people for not adequately preparing and training him, given the dangerous nature of the program's activities. This guy was 59, 60 years old when he got arrested. What the hell was he thinking he was going to do? So in November 2012, they filed a lawsuit. Nobody saw anything about it. They were looking for $60 million in damages. A year ago, in November of 2013, there was a secret settlement reached with them, and it was in the millions, I assure you. So this guy is playing an espionage agent, a spy, gets caught, sues us, gets paid in a secret settlement, and even that wasn't enough because they also filed another lawsuit looking for $10 million from Gross's own insurer, Federal Insurance Company, for benefits that supposedly the company hasn't provided. There's a lot more here than what we think, but what it really comes down to is this. That's the background on Gross. What did President Obama do? He did exactly what we knew he would do because he has proven time and time again he doesn't care about American values or America in any way, shape, or form. He released three Cuban spies, the last three Cuban spies from the group of five who went to jail in 2001. He gave them back to Cuba in exchange for Alex Gross. And more importantly, even worse than that, he announced at the same time a reestablishment of diplomatic relations with Cuba. He is now going to ease economic and travel restrictions. All right. He is going to go ahead and reopen our embassy in Havana. Who the hell is he to do all of this? Who the hell is he to do all of this? He's going to normalize relations with Cuba. Cuba has not changed one damn thing that caused all this in the first place. Their human rights are atrocious. You just changed Fidel Castro to Raul Castro, and you've still got the same leader in the same conditions. They have done absolutely nothing to address anything that created this economic embargo against them in the first damn place. in 50 years, folks. This is ridiculous. All by design to make us look weak and powerless once again, to make it easier for America to destroy itself, and to make it easier for our enemy to come in and destroy us if they want to. Marco Rubio, a guy I don't agree with in a lot of ways on a lot of things. You know, and I agree with what he said today, though. Marco Rubio said, as part of a long record of coddling dictators and tyrants that this administration has established. He goes on to say that this will not result in more economic freedom or democracy in Cuba. And it won't. Raul Castro has not acknowledged any of the wrongdoings. Raul Castro has not said that they're going to change one damn thing. They have not done anything. And Barack Obama says, okay, you win. We're going to get our cheap cigars. I don't get all of this. I don't get all of this. Because it gets a lot worse than that. It really does. Marco Rubio goes on to point out one other key thing that nobody wants to think about when this president unilaterally does his shit, thinking he can do anything he wants to, like he's a dictator. Because he points out that this deal puts a price on every American abroad, and yes, it does. He is absolutely right. Because governments now know if they can take an American hostage, they're going to get significant concessions. You got it. Show Bo Bergdahl, hey, we're going to get our Taliban terrorists back, our Al-Qaeda terrorists back. Our leaders are going to come back, and we're going to be able to bomb more. Capture one of their spies, we're going to get our spies back. And, oh, by the way, we're also going to make more money because we're going to hold their spy. We'll release him if you give us our spies. Plus, we want money, so you're going to have to get rid of this economic embargo and start giving us money. What's the next one going to cost us? The island of Hawaii? Or Oahu? I don't know. But you see how that price keeps going up? Every American in the world today is now a target. Every American outside of the United States is now a target. Barack Obama has said so on more than one occasion by his actions. And that, folks, should scare the hell out of every one of you. In the military, when we take an oath of office, we take an oath of enlistment, to defend America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So the question I leave you with tonight is, who is our real enemy, foreign or domestic? Because quite frankly, I don't think the former is the biggest deal, but the latter most certainly is today. That's it for tonight, folks. I'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel. And until then, have a great night. Thank you for listening. God bless.